let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get right into the study. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you that your Word is truth. We ask for the Holy Spirit, and thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would fill us tonight, Lord. Just a greater power, Lord, over sin, temptation, greater power, greater wisdom, insight and understanding, and Lord, really greater power for the work of ministry that you've called us unto. So thank you for the life of David, and pray that we would learn tonight. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as you are in 1 Samuel 23 and 24, we're going to continue what we began here a couple weeks ago with 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for... Well, the title's instruction in righteousness, but do you know 2 Timothy 3:16 is profitable for what? Reproof? For what? Reproof, we already have that. What else? Doctrine. What else? Correction. And instruction or training in righteousness. Psalm 32, verse 8 declares, right, instruction and teaching go together. The word given to fathers, bring your children up in the training and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6, 4. That training or that nurture is the same, right, instruction in righteousness found in 2 Timothy 3:16. Likewise, Hebrews 12, where it talks chastening, it's the same Greek word. See, we come to tonight, and I remind you that this Bible study is for believers, right? This isn't, what I'm going to share tonight does not work for unbelievers. Like, as you've been born of God and this new life that you've been given in Christ, you believed him, you received him, he gives you the power to become a child of God. And really, you did the exchange. You reconciled your sin, right, given unto him, and in exchange his righteousness. Well, when you first receive the Lord, you don't know much about righteousness. And so along comes this wonderful truth, as revealed in Scripture, that God sent forth his only Son in a very particular way, and he sent him forth to teach and walk by example the way of righteousness. Now, find your way to 1 Samuel 16:13. I'm going to remind you of something about David's life as we look at David's life and why we can draw out the understanding that we need to draw out. The Bible says that when he was anointed, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You hear that? See, when you're born of God, the Spirit of God comes and lives in you. And again, that new nature. So the instructions of Paul's way of teaching righteousness in the churches, Paul's way of teaching righteousness in all of the places he would go, he would teach how to put off the old nature and to put on the new. Now, we come to tonight's study and instruction in righteousness, like colon, and it's learning. Learning. Now, how did Jesus come? He's a teacher. Jesus taught the people. Jesus, a rabbi. Jesus, he called disciples so they could learn, they could follow. Now, we come to tonight, and by way of instruction in righteousness, there's some things we need to learn. And I had all day long, it was going to be teaching. And as, again, finishing up the study, walking and praying and listening to the Holy Spirit, this is not about teaching. This is about us learning. Okay, and I offer this up in this context. They told David in 1 Samuel 23, they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, right? And they are robbing the threshing floors. Well, the context was that that Doeg the Edomite had killed all the priests of God, and he killed the, and went to Nob, the city of the priests where they were from, and he destroyed all the priests and all the people. And now, again, decidedly, Saul has, right, set his course, having understood that the priests that helped David, that they were contrary to Saul, he kills the priests of the Lord. Now, we come to tonight, and again, entering into the context of David's life, and you'll notice that a report comes to David in another place that the enemy, the Philistines, are attacking and robbing the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Look, we're afraid here in Judah. How much more if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once again and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." And David and his men went to Keilah and fought the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and David took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now, we come to tonight, and it begins here. Learning prayer and the will of God. Okay, this is this instruction in righteousness. This new life in Christ, again, whether you just began or you've been walking for a while, and it comes down to this, learning prayer and the will of God. So that you, anyone would come to you and say, "What's God's will for your life?" You would be able to say, "I believe this is God's will," or "this situation, this circumstance," and learning prayer and the will of God. So find your way on over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, almost the end of the New Testament. That first letter that John wrote in the fifth chapter. And as you're turning there, I'm going to put some thoughts into your head. Luke records that the apostles, the disciples, came to Jesus one day and said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." Okay? So first and foremost in this instruction in righteousness out of Scripture, the Bible is written so you would learn to follow Jesus. And again, I offer this up in the life of David, Spirit of God upon, and I'm going to introduce a couple things, right? You need to learn. It's one thing to have a teacher and quite another to do what? Actually learn what the teacher is teaching. Hence the parents and the instructions, if your children aren't learning the way of righteousness and they're walking in unrighteousness, you've been given an instrument by God. You've been given instructions. Parents have instructions in the way they are to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That includes an instrument to bring them back to righteousness. Now, we come to this place and to have a prayerless church, right? To have prayerless believers is to have powerless believers. To have a prayerless church is to have a powerless church. And I offer up in this understanding, 1 John 5:14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We're looking at David's life and he is inquiring of God. And if he wasn't in that situation, if the priests of God hadn't been destroyed because of him going there and then the enemy and Saul trying to destroy David, decides to kill really the people of God. And now David is in this place and he learns to pray. And it begins with this. You know, you want to think that the Christian life is a smooth sailing, no trouble, bed of roses, nice and smooth life. Or you come to the Scriptures and you find out that Jesus was a teacher. In fact, he taught us how to suffer for righteousness' sake. He taught us how to suffer. And in his teachings, he commanded us, again, those that would follow him, to deny ourselves. Now, you'll say, is it a command? Well, he says, if anyone comes after me, once you decide I'm going to come after Jesus Christ, I'm his follower, I'm his pupil, and then tonight's title, I'm his learner. I'm learning him. I'm learning Jesus. I'm learning to pray. Now, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You need to learn that. John writes it, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Look at David's life in 1 Samuel 23. He learns to pray. Inquires of God, can think of this, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and we get on quickly to the heart of this is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It is such that you learn to pray the will of God. You learn to pray seeking God's will, and then when you have God's will, what do you learn? you learn that when you pray according to God's will, he hears you and he gives you answers to those prayers. We come to tonight's study in instructions in righteousness, learning to pray. So here it is in verse 2. David inquired of the Lord. Verse 4, he inquired of the Lord once again. We didn't like the answer. Who does like the answer? Okay. This truth, again, I needed to learn that a yes, right, is not always the best answer. I needed to learn that a no is just as good as a yes. Now, I offer up, again, where do wars and fights come from among you, right? James 4, 1. It's worth it because, I don't know if you caught this, David's in a fight. David's fighting with the Philistines and Saul's fighting with David. It might be such that you're in the body of Christ and you're not fighting with your brothers, but they're fighting with you. I'm for peace, they're for war. Okay? Or it might be a very good understanding as you take this up. Maybe you're the one causing all the trouble. Common ingredient. Everywhere you go, you're in a fight. You're in a fight in work, you're in a fight in home, and you're blaming your boss and you're blaming your spouse. Now, you need to learn. I need to learn. Where do wars and fights come from among you? James 1. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? What does that teach us to pray all about? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the existing one. Everything comes from you. You are. You exist. You created all things. You are in all things in this world. There is nothing that happens that's not in of your understanding, knowledge, will. And even in that, right, God doesn't sin, doesn't tempt to sin. See, and you look at this, where do wars and fights come from? James says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Well, nothing quite like being persecuted. We did that study, instruction in righteousness, being persecuted, chased. Okay? Everywhere you go, again, that's David's life, being chased. He runs over to the enemy, gets chased away from there. And then the next piece we learned in instruction in righteousness, that next part was overcoming fear, overcoming the enemy. Now, I would like to say that it would be very pleasant if we could just get right to learning to pray and having the will of God and learning that as we pray and he will give us what we need. But that's learned. That might be a 20-year venture. That might be a 20-year seeking and praying and learning God's will, and now I know what his will is, and I know that he will give me what I ask. Now, teach us to pray, right? We come to this, and I'm gonna step us in. Okay? We believe and teach, right? All the scriptures, we believe and teach that the Bible reveals that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And as we offer that up, and I'm gonna say this point blank to us, we need to learn to pray in the Spirit. Okay, this is Jude 1, as well as Romans 8. But Jude 1, again, there is only one chapter, Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus left the crowds, went to a deserted place, and prayed all night long to his Father. Okay? You hear phrases like that. Now, we offer up in this, again, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Now, we open up this Bible study tonight, and again, really trying to not spread it so thin, but rather to get onto just a few key things. Instruction in righteousness, learn to pray. Learn to pray in the Spirit. You wait upon God, seeking what you ought to pray for. He helps in our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Romans 8, 26. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Remember the three that you agreed to pray for in church, that you might not know what's going on in their life, but guess who does know? The Holy Spirit will, as you wait and pray. And what do they need? Now, we come to this study, and again, not heavy for me, but if I could hand off to you, you need to learn to pray. I need to learn to pray. We as a church need to learn to pray, and learning prayer and the will of God. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. You hear that? David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. Right? Seth inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. Put your name in there. Now, James says, why don't you have? Well, you're not asking. What does that mean? Oh, I asked. I asked once. He didn't give it to me. You do understand Luke 18, the widow who needed justice and kept asking the unjust judge for justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. And Jesus does this contrast as he teaches, and he describes that this unjust judge who didn't care about anybody, but this woman pestered him so much for justice that he finally gave her answer. And he says, how much more God, who is not like the unjust judge? He's your Father in heaven, and he's waiting. And don't enter into this, he just wants to hear from his children. Okay. No, he does, right? But he already knows all about you. Prayer is for you, right? In this context, David needs an answer in God's will because people are in trouble. Are you hearing this? And there's an application. Maybe you were the one in trouble. Maybe you're the sinner in need of the sinner's prayer, as it were, which is what? Lord, help. Save me. It isn't much more than that, but how many times is that short prayer really is when you go out and meet someone and you learn to pray in the Holy Spirit and he shows you, it's like, how do I get them to this place by the power of the Holy Spirit through the gospel where they cry out, Lord, save me. That's Keilah. Now, we don't get it, but you know when the enemy comes, the people of God are going to cry out for what? Help. See? And this is us, right? This is us looking, and David sees the people of God in trouble, and he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. Now, prayer for salvation. That's what this is, deliverance, save. Twice in here, it's again, to save Keilah in verse 2, and to save Keilah in verse 5. Prayers of salvation. And I offer this up in this instruction of learning prayer and the will of God. Now, don't fall for the doctrines of man that have placed a filter upon the Scripture that you would say, well, I just don't know if it's God's will for them to be saved or not. What are you talking about? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. It is God's will to save everyone, but not everyone is saved. It's not because God's not willing for them to be saved, but then you'll notice God doesn't force. And when you take this up and you see David could be doing nothing. And this to me, a very active, right, church that has learned to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit according to the will of God and receives the answer is very irritating to the lazy church or the lazy Christians. Because then that activity, it's praying, I know what to do, and I'm making this phone call, and I'm talking to that person, and this, I got to go share the gospel with my friend, and I got to send that letter or that email. And I offer up, we need to learn to pray and have that in the Holy Spirit and then act upon it. So why tonight the Holy Spirit's not letting this title be instruction in righteousness teaching is because teaching can be taught to followers and the followers still not learn it. I just want to bypass the in-between of the truth is, how long did it take you to learn that? That took me. Right? That took me this long. Trials, difficulties, David's on the run, Saul is pursuing him, wants to kill him. That's the environment of teaching prayer. Maybe you were born again into a desperate situation for prayer. And therefore, what'd you learn? I learned to pray. So it happened after that when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David, this is 1 Samuel 23:6, 23, verse 6, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. All 85 of the priests have been killed. Okay. Now, what are you going to do when the person that you relied upon, I'd call up grandma and she would pray with me and she'd hear from God. What happens when you can't call her anymore? Or is your first call to the man or woman who's been discipling you? Oh, I need prayer. What about this? Or is your first call to the pastor? Help, again, understand me. What we're establishing for each and every one of us, we learn to pray according to the will of God and to cry out to God. Now, how did David inquire of God and God hear from him? According to the law, it was given the Urim and the Thummim with the ephod, the lights and perfection. That's what's described in verse 6. There was a way to find God's will. And you say, oh, if I only had one of those. Listen to me. The context here is 1 Samuel 16:13. David was anointed with oil and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, why I'm so passionate about this is this takes a long time. It took a long time for me to learn. It took a long time for us as a church. Worship, prayer, and Holy Spirit ministry. Okay, all of those, right, are learned. Okay, God gives, God teaches, but all that is learned. You receive gifts, but then from there, what do you need to do? You need to learn how the Holy Spirit speaks and then how he gives that gift and with power that you could administer or again minister that grace gift to another with power. You could speak with boldness. You know exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to say to them. And even as you preach Christ with what? With the power of the gospel. This is not a clever sales method. Now, we come to this study tonight and David's inquiring with, I believe, by Abiathar. And you get the contrast here with Saul. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand. Now just, right over there in verse 7, just write this. No, he hasn't. Okay? Now, what else do you need to learn when you're learning prayer and the will of God? That man's words are not nearly as valuable as God's word. What you have prayed and sought from God's Holy Spirit and he's given you an answer, take that answer. What if it's contrary to the Saul in your life? See, we should not be moved by man's words, but we should be held in the will of God. Now, I offer up to you George Mueller's life. He's the pastor who, by the will of God, in early 1900s, sought God's will in prayer, had the idea, is this from God? And he would pray on that idea every Thursday night for 2 months, 3 months, seeking God's will. Again, biblical decision making as I've offered it up to you. Seeking God's will, is this God's will? Is now the time? And he came through that, and his prayer journal, he recorded it, because the church wasn't walking by faith in those days. And he said, I will be an example of one who holds to God's word, will walk by faith, and he learned prayer. He recorded over 50,000 direct answers to prayer in his lifetime, that these prayers, right? Lord, give us today our daily bread. 1,200 orphans, right, in England, London, at the height of that ministry, fed. He says there was never a day they went hungry. They came to breakfast one time, and there was no food. But he had, again, working with everybody. God had never failed them. They had never failed them that there was no food to feed. And they're praying, and they're praying the will of God, and they're asking for breakfast. They don't know where it's coming from. They get a knock on the door. And the person knocking on the door says, well, my cart pulling this wagon of milk broke an axle. Okay, it's going to take all day long to fix it. That milk will be no good by the time the wagon is fixed. By any chance, could you use the milk for your orphans? Okay, prayer and the will of God. Now, when it's for salvation, right? And you've got Saul calling out, right? You look at that. God has delivered him into my hand. He has shut himself by entering the towns that has gates and bars. Now, this is an oxymoron if you don't catch it. Keilah, I think is how it's actually sort of pronounced. I practice and I always mess it up. Means fortress, to be protected from. But what's Saul saying? Oh, he's now in prison. Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar, "Bring the ephod here." Then David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand?" Okay. "Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant," and the Lord said he will come down. Prayer and the will of God. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you should expect an answer. 1 John 5:14 and 15. You pray asking according to God's will. And it is setting this before you. John 15 describes abiding in Christ, and you abide in his word, you abide in his love, and you'll ask the Father, right? You'll ask in Jesus' name, ask according to his will. He's going to give you these things. We need to learn prayer. Learning. It's our discipleship. So do you understand the very circumstances, difficulties, trials? Again, everything in your life is given by God because he's over all things. He either allowed it or sent it. And they're all been sent so you would learn prayer and the will of God. David inquires, God gives an answer. Right. Now, irony is, the first answer to prayer is, go to Keilah to save them, leave Keilah to save them. You'll notice as he's praying, right, he comes to destroy Keilah for my sake. The only way David can save is what? Is by leaving. The Lord said, they will deliver you. Will the men deliver me? They will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed. Notice they went from 400 to 600. And they went wherever they could go, and it was told Saul that David had escaped. So he halted the expedition. Now, we really only have two things we need to learn tonight. Okay? The first one is learning prayer and the will of God together. Okay. Now, the very circumstance, the very squeezing, you can see your family members, the ones you love, they need salvation. Maybe you have a little broader view and you're looking at cities. You're looking at this city. I have been for 25 years, I've been looking at North Dakota. Okay. And as I describe this, prayer and the will of God, and again, open door. Just walking in front of this, you know, living this way in full view of all of you. Let's walk by faith. Let's pray. You know, a few years ago, we started, you know, outreach in Wapton, and one of the brothers here is like, I'm praying the Holy Spirit gave me a name that I'm going to meet a man in Wapton with this name, and I'm going to share the gospel with him. What's so... Again, as you would take this into your heart and into your mind and into your life, do you know the Holy Spirit this way? Do you know the Word of God this way? Why don't you know this power of God this way in prayer? And so this is our stirring up to learn this power, and we see it in David. He has the Holy Spirit, and God uses his life. God saves and delivers the city, and then he delivers David. God will deliver you from every evil and presents you faultless before the throne. You just keep in Jude verse 20, and you keep going into 21, and keep yourself in the love of God, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and then again, saving others. You're making a distinction. Some you save with compassion, some you save with fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to, right, Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before His throne. That's prayer and the power of God. Verse 14, 1 Samuel 23. David stayed in the strongholds of the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Now, I love this phrase in 14. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Go back up and look at verse 7. God has delivered David into my hand. Now, without power of prayer, again, I'm using that phrase on purpose. Power through prayer, power in prayer. Read the old saints on prayer. Why read George Mueller? Because he prayed and God answered his prayers. That's worth everything. An example of someone like us who prayed in his day and the needs were great and God did a great work. Read E.M. Bounds on prayer. Okay? And I just offer these up. David stayed in the strongholds. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Do you know why David escaped Keilah? Answered prayer. Okay. You should not be suffering needlessly, right? Not understanding God's will. You should not be suffering for your foolish, unrighteous way of living as a Christian. Isn't that what James described? James described, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You understand that this scripture, again, what's revealed, if we get anything less than what Jesus taught. Now, here we go, right? Jesus teaching us to pray. In this manner, therefore, pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That really sorts out just about every problem you have. How does this fit in with God's kingdom, what He's doing, and His will? But I just need this, and I need this, and I want this. James says what? That's your own pleasures. David, kingdom of God, Jesus, son of David. It's not much of a bridge, is it, between David and Jesus? Because David is a man after God's own heart. Now, you want to know what the second thing you need to learn tonight. Okay? So you need to learn to pray. The second one is you need to learn the way. Okay? It's two things. So we're studying tonight. Two chapters, two things to learn. You need to learn prayer and the will of God. You need to learn the way of righteousness in Jesus Christ. I need to learn the way of righteousness. David stayed in the strongholds of the wilderness. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. God will never leave you. God will not forsake you. God will not deliver you up. The enemy has no power over you. Even in this world, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. No one, nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. But it feels like it. Feels like it to David. The enemy boasts, right? Saul is seeking David every day. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. Now just right there in your margin, friendship, fellowship, encouragement, gifts of the Holy Spirit with one another in the body of Christ. Why fellowship? Because you need encouragement. Or you're the one giving encouragement. Why gifts of the Holy Spirit? Because it's from the Holy Spirit that these things are said and given to one another. We don't need, right? We don't need the world's methods. We need the Holy Spirit. And he said to him, do not fear, the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. Do you hear that? That's prophecy. That's Jonathan prophesying. Okay? We need the Holy Spirit in prayer. We need the Holy Spirit in the way of righteousness. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. Now, I just want you to circle that in 17, and this takes us to the end of tonight's study when Saul himself cries out in verse 20 of chapter 24, I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Saul's own words. We need to learn the way of righteousness. And the way of righteousness matches the way of the cross. Do you hear that? Meekness, lowly, right? Not self, but Christ. Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall find you. Not find you. Excuse me. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Do you catch this? In the way of righteousness, you start going through this. Way of righteousness, and the Proverbs rise to the front. If you teach or train and bring up your children in the way that they should go when they're old, they will not depart from that. The way of righteousness. And you go right through this in study. So the two of them made a covenant. The Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah saying, "Is not David hiding with us in strongholds in the woods? The hill of Hakalah," it's like Mount Wanahakalugi, "which is south of Jeshimon. Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul. Come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed are you of the Lord." Now, again, right over there and say, "No, you're not." Okay. Now, in this righteousness, in the way of righteousness, you need to stand. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, the armor, right? Breastplate of righteousness for your heart. Isaiah prophesies armor of righteousness on the left and then again and on the right, and then Paul quotes that to the Corinthian church. Righteousness, it's an armor, it's a protection in the way of righteousness. If you walk in righteousness, you will be safe. Do you hear that? If you walk in uprightness, you will not be snared. Think of it. If you walk in deceit, if you walk in lies, if you walk in unrighteousness, what does Satan always do? He lays a snare for you and get caught in the snare. And then you're taken captive. We watch David overcome, and now we watch David walk in righteousness. This is the way of the cross for us as believers. Again, even as they're forming a plan to capture and hand over, and Saul says, "Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me." Remember, this is how confusing it gets when we let Satan have a foothold between our relationships of believers with believers. That's why we're instructed. We're not unaware of his devices. Again, we should remove his foothold. We should know of the tactics of the enemy. We need the Holy Spirit in the way of righteousness. Again, we need gifts of the Spirit. Please go and find out for sure. See the place where he is hiding out, where his hideout is, and who has seen him there, for I am told he is very crafty. That's how you will appear when you're full of the Holy Spirit and you obey, and you always escape the trouble that you could have been in. For example, you read through the Proverbs, and the warnings are there over the company that you keep, or keep you from the evil man, or keep you from the strange woman, and you walk in that righteousness, you keep your way, you walk in that, and it's like, you're going to seem like, how did you know to get out of that? Because I walked in the way of righteousness. Or, I denied myself and took up my cross and followed Jesus. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And if he is in the land, I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah. So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Moan, and in the plain in the south of Jeshimon. And when Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore, he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Moan. And Saul heard that, and he pursued David in the wilderness of Moan. Now, when he was in Keilah, he gathered all the armies to besiege and destroy and take Keilah. Now he picks 3,000 men, right? We'll get that in the next chapter. He is pursuing with a swift army. Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. I love this verse, 24:26. See, you don't have to fear the close calls as a believer. Do you understand that? Satan would love to say what? Oh, did you see that? You see how close that was? He'll make it look like God's not going to protect you and keep you. See, What I believe God's producing with us is a people full of the Holy Spirit with boldness and power who will pray and have God's will and get answered prayer with power, and we will go forth, okay, in our personal lives and live boldly and live powerfully for God, doing the work of ministry. That's if Saul wasn't doing the work of ministry, right? If he had done the work of ministry the way God had commanded him, he'd still be king. If David, right, you understand, anointed and called, and he has something to do, how do you view your life? How do you view church? Just a place, yeah, I attend there? Or is there a power of God to live after Christ? I'm learning to follow Jesus Christ, and I see how he lives, and I've learned that I'm his disciple. And just as God sent him into the world, I've been sent to. And where have you been sent? And you understand these things. Saul went down one side of the mountain, David on the other. So David made haste to get away from Saul. Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. Verse 27, but a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. See, boldness, confidence. How about this? Holy Spirit intervention. That type of testimony. I obeyed the Lord, and it looked like it was going this way, and I prayed, and God gave an answer in the most unusual way. Are you trying to direct God's counsel, telling him how to answer prayers? You get it all figured out. If God would just do this, you know what I've learned? That God has his way in everything, and he has his ways to answer prayer in the most unlikely way, and he delivers David. Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines, and they called the place Rock of Escape, or Hamalahakaoth. That's why they don't let me, you know, if you go to Blue Letter Bible and you click on that, you know, how to pronounce those words, they don't let me do that. There you go. You got it. Then David went up from there and went to the strongholds of En-Gedi. Now, we go to En-Gedi for hiking, you know, waterfalls. A lot of fun. But in David's day, it's a stronghold. Now, it happened when Saul had... Psalm 60, what is it? I didn't write it down. I take that back. Strike that from the record. I don't remember. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Now, Saul takes 3,000 chosen men of all Israel, went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. Still today, it's what? The rocks of the wild goats. Ibex, right? So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs, and David and his men were staying in the recess of the cave. And now comes the test. Are you going to walk in righteousness? Are you going to follow the teachings of Jesus? Are you going to walk in righteousness? Then the men said to David, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. Now, I don't know if the Lord ever said that. But this is what I know. The circumstance, the situation is going to be presented to you like this is God doing this. Satan loves this trick. Satan loves to make something look like this is, if you just use anger and destroy that person's reputation, right, they will leave you alone for the rest of your days. Or whatever sin you might need to change your situation. And it said, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand. Now, I just, in my mind, said, no, he hasn't. Okay? See, how do you approach and how do you look? And you say, all the pieces come together. And I look at this for David. This is his test. Now, back with me on this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hear that prayer? Prayer in the will of God. All right, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Again, give us this day our daily bread. And, this one. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. James says when we're tempted, we're drawn away by our own desires, right? God doesn't tempt anybody with sin. And you look at this, passing the test, right? Walking in the way of righteousness. Jesus tempted Matthew 4, 1 through 11, out in the wilderness, if you're the Son of God. Tempted to do what? Use the power of God for his own body appetites as he's fasting, to what? Deny the power, if you will, of the spirit, right, and life over the material world. Again, you understand, this is the test. I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do good to him, do to him as seems good to you. Now, what did Jesus teach us about our enemies? That you may do to him as you wish. That's not what David's being tempted with. Okay, what did Jesus teach? I just can't wait to have an enemy, a real enemy, so I can feed him and clothe him. See, most of us don't ever operate in having a real enemy because, right, because we're not really living the fullness of that life that God has us to live. Because if you seek to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. This is what God's doing with us. He's teaching us. He's equipping us. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now, it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Now, David's going to have this another time, and I want you to write over there, conviction of the Holy Spirit is very good. Condemnation of the devil pushes you away from God. Conviction of the Holy Spirit does what? Oh, my heart's not right toward my brother. My heart's not right toward my sister in Christ. You understand. David's heart troubled him because he cut the robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." Romans 12, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." How do you overcome evil? Right? Romans 12, 21, you overcome evil by or with good or doing good. I offer up to you, it's the way of the cross. How did Jesus overcome evil? With the good of the cross. What is this way of righteousness? It's the way of the cross. It's that which struck into the heart of God. It's that which the Father accepted as that sacrifice for the sin. Jesus' perfect, sinless life. And he says to us, follow me. Or it starts here. Come, right, and learn of me. The invite is, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. See, we have a world and we have a church, a worldly church in the world who is operating of weariness and they're heavy laden and they're troubled and they're turning to the world. And yet Jesus says, come to me, but then he says something very important. He says, come again to me and learn of me. What are you learning? What does it mean to be yoked together with him? It's submission. You're learning deny self. You're learning his ways are better than my ways. We're learning very, again, two very simple things, but very deep things. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. What's David saying? That would be wrong. That would be unrighteous for me. So David restrained his servants with these words. Now, again, right there, righteousness in you, and you walk in the way of righteousness, and you deny yourself, you lay down your life, you're not concerned what happens to you. Again, even keeping the way of righteousness to your own hurt. You hear that one? Keeping the way of righteousness to your own hurt, and that is where you will have power to restrain or tell others what they've done wrong. Remember, a prayerless church is a powerless church. Likewise, an unrighteous church, right, is powerless to restrain the tide of wickedness and evil that's sweeping over the world. The basics never change. David restrained his servants with these words, did not allow them to raise up against Saul. I don't know who started the talk, but this is the day. Look what God did. Look at it. We can kill Saul. This is all over. Think about that. The temptation to kill the other, change the situation, get that person out of my life, whatever the temptation might be. Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also rose afterward, went out of the cave, called out to Saul, saying, "My Lord the King." This way of righteousness, this way of the cross, that you would count, right, your enemy in such a way that David can't even call Saul his enemy. Oh, he had the natural, right, carnal. He could have tore Saul up and down, blaming him, and he's ruined my life, and this is all going on. And this is the way of righteousness, the way of the cross. Absolutely everything that comes into my life has first passed through my Father's hands. It may not be God's will for Saul to treat me that way, but it certainly is God's will for me to not treat him that way, the way of the cross. You might be in a situation in your life and you'd say, the way I'm being treated, again, hated, despised, ignored, again, spitefully used, persecuted. What, you might be in that and you'd say, I can't see how this is God's will for my life. It may not be God's will for them to sin against you, but it certainly is God's will for you, right, to deny yourself, die to how they're treating you, and love them in return. Do you see why not many, right? Oh, how did Jesus say it in Matthew 7? The way is narrow and difficult, and few that find it this way to eternal life. Why? The teachings. So remember tonight, instruction in righteousness is learning, and I'm just going to offer it up. Between you and the Lord, just say to him, I need to learn the way of the cross. Teach me. Teach me the cross. Teach me to deny myself. Teach me to die to what I want to say and do right now. And instead of offering up anger, hatred, murderous thoughts, whatever that might be, again, how many of you can speak freely about your bosses or your spouses and say, they're horrible. They're always doing this, this, and that. Or do you recognize, say, you know what? I can only speak good about them. Now, this is why not many people want to follow the teachings of Jesus in the way of righteousness, because his teachings cut to the heart. David arose and says, "My Lord the King." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. Meekness, lowliness, humility. King of the world crucified on a cross. Meek, lowly. What did he offer up? You come to me for rest, he says, and you'll find rest and you can be yoked together with me. And he describes it as, because I am meek and gentle, or gentle and lowly, meek and lowly, gentleness and meekness. And you see this. David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the men, words of men, who say indeed David seeks your harm?" Now, do you know how much Satan destroys relationships? He came to kill, steal, destroy. Makes it look like someone, like he can make a situation between someone. You hear a word, and if you hold on to the words of men, you're like, "Oh, that's what they think about me, and that's what they're saying, but they're talking about me." No, they're not. See, David says, why do you listen to words of men? Why do you listen to the men who say David seeks your harm? He says, look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you into my hand in the cave. Remember all these phrases? The Lord's delivered David in my hand. The Lord's doing this. Bless you for having compassion on me. And yet, Saul, the truth is what? God's against Saul. Do you hear that? It feels, and I'm using it on purpose, it feels like everything is against David because Saul is using force and wickedness and evil and destruction. Right? You hearing this? It feels like David is going to be delivered into Saul's hand, but what's the truth? God just delivered Saul up. He could have killed him. Someone urged me to kill you. Now, if it was in this church, you would have heard the owls, who? Who did that? Not quite. That's fun. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against the Lord, for he's the Lord's anointed. Now, over there in your margin, just draw a cross. It's God's will for me to suffer rather than to sin. Do you hear that? It's God's will for me to suffer rather than to sin in my anger or to bite back, to devour, to destroy, to tear down. It's God's will for me to suffer in this situation. Now, there's all kinds of, you're in a stuck situation. There's all kinds of counsel from God's word and God's Holy Spirit. If you're in something and you've been suffering a long time and you're like, I can't sort this out. What is this? What? I'll pray with you. We'll seek God's will together. Right? Well, we'll open up the scriptures. Well, how do you carry the cross in this? Because isn't that what Peter instructed in marriages, that if the unbelieving or the believing wife has an unbelieving husband, that she is to carry her cross in the marriage? Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe, it's in my hand. Right? Now that's picturesque as well, because it also has to do with cutting off his inheritance. I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. No one see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Now what if David had acted in sin? Wouldn't make a very good king, would he? What if Jesus had? You do realize that Jesus had every potential to what? To sin. Don't ever think that he was not fully man and was untouchable, that he just brushed Satan aside. No, those are real, and he dies to himself so that he would not sin. What did David just do? The way of the cross, the way of righteousness. I will not sin against Saul. You hunt my life to take it, yet I will not sin against you. That's why I can boldly declare unto you, however you're being treated in whatever circumstance you're in, if you accept that as God's will, right, and you can carry your cross in it, there is a way of righteousness. Now, there are, in righteousness, things that you can do if you're in a stuck situation. Okay? Doesn't mean you stay in that situation any more than when you find out at the end of this chapter, Saul says, you're more righteous than I am, and this I won't hurt you anymore. You know where David goes? Does he go back to live with Saul? No. He escapes and continues to dwell in the wilderness. This wisdom in the way of righteousness to deny yourself, not take matters into your own hand. And you look at verse 12. This is the key verse. Why can you trust that if you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus, that the circumstance may not go your way, you may suffer in the short term? Why? Well, David's willing to do this. Let the Lord judge between you and me. Let the Lord avenge me on you. I will not, my hand shall not be against you. You're against me, but I'm not against you. So where do wars and fights come from among you? Should be this. As we learn the way of righteousness and carry this cross and learn Christ, it should be such that it should be a very difficult thing to get a fight with you anymore. If you're easy to fight, you're here tonight to say what? Man, do I need to learn the way of righteousness. Right? Husbands, can your wife get a fight with you anymore? Wives, can your husbands get a fight with you? See, look at David. My hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancients say, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. He says, even if you do wickedness unto me, and that is not going to put wickedness into me, and I'm not going to get back at you. Now I'm going to teach you a valuable truth that I learned in 2016. My pastor is teaching the Bible, and he's using this phrase. He says, flesh taunts flesh. Oh, I believe that. And then later on, I think it was a week or 10 days later, guess what? A situation, I've been working with a guy, and all of a sudden, he does something and it taunts me and I lash back at him. So you could say, I learned it when my pastor taught it in the Bible study, would not be a true statement. When did I learn that? When I failed. And the Holy Spirit, just like David, in his heart, I knew I just did wrong. I called the guy right back up, but he wasn't taking my calls anymore. He was taunting me. He was tearing me down. He was lying all these things about me, but he was trying to do one thing. He's trying to get me to sin in the same way. And as soon as I caught it, I stopped it. I tried to call him back. And like, you know what? He's not going to take my call. I went into the office, got out a blank piece of paper. Will you please forgive me for sinning against you? And I was wrong to say that to you, and that's wrong for me to treat you that way. It's wrong for me to treat anybody that way. And I sealed up the envelope, put the stamp on it, ran right to the post office before I could change my mind. So when did I learn the way of righteousness? When I failed. So I offer up to you in this way of righteousness, when you stumble, get back up. But this truth is, right? This truth that we're looking at here, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, flesh taunts flesh. But my hand shall not be against you. When taunted to enter into the fight, what should you do? I know what I don't do anymore. 2016. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog, a flea? Therefore let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand. Even if you don't stop treating me this way, I'm not going to take matters into my own hand. God, the righteous judge, is going to act on my behalf, and I'm willing to base my entire life upon that. So what are we dealing with tonight? We're learning to pray the will of God. We're learning the way of righteousness. What's the way of righteousness? It's the way of the cross. The way of the cross. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand. I'll say it again. It may not be God's will for them to treat you like that, but it certainly is not God's It certainly is God's will for you to treat them love, kindness, patience. Love your enemies. So it was when David had finished speaking these words that Saul said to Saul, that Saul said, "Is that your voice, my son David?" You do realize when it's a fight and Satan's all involved with it, I don't know how many times you've absolutely lost it, and you know that fire of anger from being taunted in the flesh and just get all themed up, you lose your mind. I also know that when someone has lost their mind on me, I know they've lost their mind. And I'll know that if they're not walking in the way of righteousness, they will not remember. So don't find it strange when they like call you up the next day and just want to, they won't talk about it. They'll just try to pretend like it never happened. Is that your voice, my son? Saul comes to his senses. Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I." Now, right there, verse 17, that's the testimony of the cross in our lives. So I say it this way, right? In and of myself, there is nothing righteous in me. The only righteousness that is in me has been given unto me by gift of salvation from Christ Jesus, where I'm reconciled to God. What is the way of righteousness? It's not my ways. You are more righteous than I, for you've rewarded me with good, where I have rewarded with you with evil. Do you see the teaching of Jesus in the way of righteousness? When do you learn these things? When they're taught in a Bible study? Do you learn them when you read the Bible? Uh-uh. When do you learn them? When real life enters in, and then you're confronted. And then the Holy Spirit's wonderful because he brings to remembrance the things that Jesus said to you. And for me, it usually comes after I've said it because I have a very quick tongue. Well, so do you. And then after you say it, then like, I really wish I hadn't done that. Immediately convicted by the Holy Spirit. You are more righteous than I. You rewarded me with good where I have rewarded you with evil. John 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And you have shown this day how you have dealt with me, for when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore may the Lord reward you with the good which you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king. Remember Jonathan prophesying? The kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. Why? Because that's what kings did. You become king instead of somebody else's house and you cut their house off. He says, don't do that. So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, and here it is. But David and his men went up to the stronghold. So really before you, are you that interested in what you have seen and heard and read and find that is in Jesus Christ that you say, I want to follow him? If any man desires, if any woman desires to come after Jesus. See, this is discipleship tonight. You hear the word learning, it's what? Discipleship. You know the cross is all about discipleship? You can live the rest of your Christian life not really being a disciple of Jesus. You'll never really go anywhere, do anything. You'll stumble, you'll fall. You won't really know the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. You understand there are churches now in this nation, they teach the way of unrighteousness. They teach that good is evil and evil is good. The same warning, it's the same environment Isaiah faced. Why all these Isaiah prophecies for us? So we would learn the same environment and what we're called to speak up, right? Tell people. David and his men went up to the stronghold. Saul went home. David didn't go home with Saul, did he? It may not be God's will for them how they're treating you, but it certainly is God's will for you to not treat them with the contempt and hatred and however they're treating you. So, Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. We're here tonight to learn. Thank you for the instructions in righteousness. Thank you that word instruction also means chastening. Lord, the things I never would have learned if it didn't come with a good, painful correction. Lord, I thank you that the way of the cross is the way for me. Lord, I pray that we'd all come to this place to decide together with the words of the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That we could also agree together that I've been crucified with Christ. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The one who loved me gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. Lord, it's our sincere desire tonight to follow you. Lord, we don't want to follow at a distance. All that we've seen and heard in you, we want to follow closely. Yes, we'll be hated, misunderstood. People will call us mean. Lord, we want to turn and bless and love. Use our lives. Pour your Spirit upon us. Teach us to pray in the Spirit and teach us to carry this cross in power by the Holy Spirit that your gospel could get through all of that wickedness and evil and save people in Jesus' name. Amen.